God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be multiplied among you, my dear friends and fellow Christians. It was, for me, the most memorable part of the movie. That movie, The Passion of the Christ. Oh, not the unbelievable brutality that man can dispense upon another man. Not the intense bloody violence. Not the incredible cinematography. No, it was one scene and seven misplaced English words spoken by Jesus as he worked his way along the Via Dolorosa, carrying that dreadful load of our sins and our death to the cross for us. Misplaced words, for they weren't spoken in any of the four Gospels, and so they shouldn't have appeared in the movie at all. Seven words that define what Jesus is doing. Seven words from our second reading from the book of Revelation today. Behold, I am making all things new. Behold, I am making all things new. To be sure, there are many good things about this creation, good things about this creation in which we live. Heaven and earth still bear the stamp of the goodness of God. And yet, at the same time, there's much about this created order that has lost the good mark of its creator. An enormous oil spill saturates the Gulf of Mexico now. Eco-disasters ravage the earth. Tornadoes race along Tornado Alley to the north and Dixie Alley to the south, wiping out not just towns, but lives and loves. Cancer attacks the bodies of wonderful people. Alzheimer's fogs the most brilliant minds. A dwindling economy strips people of their homes and their livelihoods around the world, and even in this, our community. Infections and injuries, deaths and disasters, heartaches and sorrows, you name it, it's broken. It's all around us. It's out there. It's even in here. It sits in the pew. It stands in the pulpit. Most of what's broke seems so broke that many people doubt it can ever be fixed. Thinking about it is enough to drive even the most optimistic person to despair. For we live in a broken down world. What happened to this privileged planet God once declared good? What is it that separates husbands from wives? What is it that isolates children from parents? What is it that turns people who were friends, even lovers, into antagonists who venomously vilify each other? Fellow Christians you once used to commune with, spouses you slept with, parents who bore you, neighbors you drank beer with, people you hardly even know. What is it that's broken every relationship between God and his people, wedged itself between husband and wife, set brother against brother, and torn this world apart? The simple answer is sin. It's what's come between every relationship in heaven and on earth. Sin is hard at work fueling our pride and nursing our egos, hard at work feeding our greed, destroying our health, freezing our mobility, and isolating us from one another, all the while assuring us that we're entitled to way more than we've got. Sin is hard at work, doing its best to leave you lost and alone, despairing of any hope at all, hope even that God cares. Oh, the positive words of the Proverbs about hope and a future are brutally overrun by real life. by the cry of the psalmist, for my soul is sated with troubles, and my life has come near to being sheer hell itself. My God, why have you forsaken me? As a result of all of this sin and all that we've added to it, even this world has come under the curse. Even creation is out of whack. As St. Paul told the Romans, creation was subjected to frustration after the fall into sin, and the whole creation's been groaning as if in the pains of childbirth from that day on until now. In the light of everything out there and in here, everything creaking, everything groaning, everything so broken that it can't be fixed, in the light of all this hopelessness and these despairing times, which can get much worse, you know, which frightens us even all the more, John writes, if you will, his second gospel, the gospel of Revelation. Gospel means good news, and good news is what John has for us today. Disease and death no more. All the fightings and fears of this past week and life, no more. All the troubles and tears that haunt you, no more. The angry sea of chaos and disorder, no more. All these belong to the old order of things. John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Good news. Usually we think of a new heaven and a new earth as being end times things, events that will happen off in the future, and well, they will. But in a very real way, though your eyes see only disaster then and now, this new order is what Jesus ushers in on the cross. And he ushers it in? He ushers it in for you. It is finished, Jesus cried. It is done, he declares in our second lesson for today, this world of sin and death. And this is what he declares from his throne in our text today as well. Behold, I am making all things new. New. Not just a fresh copy of the same old thing, something fixed that will only go bad again, but the same old things, completely new, and Garden of Eden good. To make things new didn't come cheaply. The price he had to pay for the life of the world was his flesh. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. But having paid that price, Jesus, and Jesus alone, has reversed the curse that Adam brought. And risen from the grave, he declares, behold, I am making all things new. He promises a new heaven and a new earth, one in which there is no sin. No sin means no death. No sin means no separation. Not from one another, and never again from God, for the dwelling place of God is with man, he declares. No sin means no sorrow nor crying, for there's nothing left to cause it, and no pain as well. These are former things, old things, and they have no place when Jesus makes all things new. Well, Pastor, that is good news, but Pastor, I know that in the end there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But that's then, and this is now, and I'm in the now. What about now? What about me? What about all that I'm going through now? In a very real way, new has already happened to you. That's why I began this sermon with the misplaced words of Jesus in a movie script. For these are words that pour forth hope into hopeless life. On that cross, Jesus was doing exactly what he said he would do. In what looked like complete defeat and utter failure, Jesus, hanging there, dying for the sins of you and me, Jesus was busy making all things new. And this new he has delivered to you. New is what has happened to you when in the waters of holy baptism, those floodwaters, God brought you to life again. Didn't just fix you, but killed you and raised you up again, never to die again. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, Paul says. You are a new creation. New is what happened to you when just a few minutes ago, the promise of God that he made to you in the waters of your baptism got repeated by Pastor Rohde standing by the baptismal font, where he did what God told him to do for you there, forgiving you your sins in Jesus' name, and in that forgiveness, he gives you life. Things aren't good out there, you know. I don't need to rehearse for you all the pain and the suffering that you yourselves know all too well. And like an icy cold wind, those things suck hope and promise from our lives. In the light of all of that, and in the light of things that get us way down into the dumps, don't cling to the hope that this life's just got to get better. There's no promise that it will. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Don't cling to the hope that there is a cure-all, a silver bullet, an all-inclusive measure that will fix things. There isn't. In the words of the psalmist, don't put your trust in princes, in monetary systems, in economies, in governments, in administrations, left, right, or center, in churches and or states, for this is a broken and dying world. And there is no fix-it plan for death. No, cling to your Savior and his promises. Cling to the one who on the cross made you new. Where you're guilty of sin, don't seek to justify it or excuse it or hold it up against someone else's greater sin to show what a good boy am I. Rejoice that Christ has made you new and truly set you free from the wages of that sin. Where you suffer at the hands of others, give thanks that you don't suffer at the hands of God, and give thanks that he is the one who suffered for you. Pray for your enemies, that they might be made new too. And in that prayer, God will work even renewing you. And where you must suffer the effects of this old and dying world, rejoice that this world's not the end. For by Jesus' death and resurrection, Christ has made all things new. Someday, Jesus declares, the old will pass away and the new will come. In the meantime, until you see this day with your very own eyes, know that your Jesus is not far away. He didn't lie to you when he said the dwelling place of God is with men. He didn't lie to you when he said, lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. He's promised to meet you here. Here he visits you in his holy word. Here he has made you a new creation in baptism. Here he feeds you with new life itself, with his life, his body, his blood. Here he gives you to drink in through your ears from the eternal spring of the water of life. All the things of this life that threaten us, real they are. Very real indeed. Don't dress them up in spiritual garb and call the bad things good. They're not. Call them what they are. But know this as well. The things of this life don't have the last word. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says, but my words will never pass away. And by his word, he has made you new. By his grace, he has made you his child and declared himself to be your God. Here he invites you out of this bleak world for a moment and back into Eden's garden, where you can hear him walking in the cool of the garden, in the cool of a Sunday morning, hear him speaking new into your old life. Here, you are safe, hid with Christ and God. This new creation's yours, even here and now. Here, he will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Because this word is trustworthy and true, no one will be able to take this joy from you. For you are forgiven for all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Behold, Jesus says, I am making all things new. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us now confess what we believe about our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We use the words of the Nicene Creed. Please rise.